You got this piece of paper?
Yes.
I promised you this song my dad used to sing to me when I was a little boy. And then he surprised me when he first came down to Los Angeles. I was 46. And he sang it to me on my birthday then. Now, the second verse, it doesn't matter. Whatever's in your mind at the time, it doesn't matter whether you sing two arms first and two lips second and two eyes third, or whether you sing it as I do, two eyes first and two arms second and two lips third. Depends on what you want to end with. So I won't sing it the same way Dad sang it. He always sang arms that hold me tight first and lips that kiss goodnight and eyes that shine so bright. But I've forgotten that he sang it in that sequence, and I've learned it the other way, and I don't want to have to relearn it. So you just sing along with me. You need to learn this to sing to your kids. Aren't you glad I'm handing it out to you?
Yeah.
A tiny turned up nose,
two cheeks just like a rose.
Got the melody down yet to where you can sing it to your little boy or to your little girl, contact Dolores Press and buy a copy of today's service. And you'll have a copy, won't you? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out, does it? And just put it in your cassette player and learn it and sing it the rest of your life. Your boys and your girls. You like it?
Yes.
I have written this verse, which is Romans 4, verse 3 in the King James. What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I've written in the Spanish, porque que dice la Escritura. Creo Abraham a Dios. Therefore, what says the Scripture? Believed, creo, Abraham, to God, a Dios, he and le, to him, fue it was contado justicia. Translated usually righteousness, but it's that word for justification. And there's two words I want you to circle here, creo and justicia. Yeah, written red. Circle the creo Because early on they substituted belief, from which we get credulity or credit. Creo is to believe. Translate the French for me, please. Here's the mic.
En effet, que dit l'Écriture? Abraham crut à Dieu, et cela lui fut compté comme justice.
In effect, what says the Scripture, correct?
Yes.
Abraham believed. Again, circle crew. Abraham believed. Notice it's to God, adu, eshela, that, to him, lui, who, comp, was counted comme justice. You can say that better than I can.
Justice.
Justice, like with G. Over here it's an H. J is an H. There it's a G. Okay, thank you very much. Circle the crude and justice. The point of this is to show how early on we have to work back through. You may be seated. Go to the King James, Romans 4:3. You there? Now I have my glass case, but there's the glasses. Romans 4:3. Let's read it together. You ready? Abraham, read with me. Abraham believed God. Come on, read with me. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. At least they translate that dike word as righteous. The Greek is written up here. Tigar, the original, for what the graphi, scripture, legai, says. Epistousin. Notice the word is pistuo. Now, we have written that on the board so many times, pistuo is never exhausted by belief. I don't have to go through that in length today, do I? It's action based upon belief, sustained by confidence. And it is the faith that God pays attention to when the object of that action and that belief and that confidence is his faithfulness to a word he has uttered. You can have pistuo on any subject. You can't exist without pistuo. Every move you make has to be based upon a belief that you're acting on, sustained by confidence. And that is pistuo, as I would say, with a small letter on it. Put a capital letter on it, is saving faith. The object is God's word. The knowledge and confidence is God's faithfulness to his word. And you're willing to hang your body on it to death if necessary because of your confidence in God's faithfulness. This word, pistuo, is used to translate several words for faith, truth, faithfulness, in the Old Testament. Batak, you know, is to lean on something. You can do that tentatively. You can be not so sure. You can experiment. Hasa is a shelter, to run to a shelter. You can think about it, but you're not acting until you lean on something. You're not using the shelter until you run to it. Again, you can be tentative. You cannot be sure the shelter will hold you. Lean on something often enough and it supports you. Your confidence grows. Run to a shelter and it shelters you. Your confidence grows. This is old hat, but it needs to be dinned in. And don't leave me because it's the familiar, because I'm going to apply it. As the confidence grows in those actions, there is a state of mind that comes. The word for that is amen. We use it cheaply in modern religion. We say amen, translate it, so be it. Well, if you think about it, so be it. If all doubt is removed, you are at the amen stage. So be it. God never has a doubt about something he says. When he said, light be, Light was. When he says something, he makes it happen. That's why the words used to describe God's faithfulness and his truth. Amet, amen. God is the launching pad of amenness to his word. He waits for us. He lets us experiment, but he waits for that amenness to click in. And I coined the phrase where our amen brushes the face of his amen, and all doubt is removed. We are then at the amen level. Paul is quoting the Old Testament in this verse when he says, what saith the Scripture? Epistusen, not believed, faith Abraham, trusted Abraham, the God, Kai and Elogisthi. Now, in the middle of that word is Logis. God has declared himself in Ephesians that he will send his blessings to us by his word. This is called the Old and New Covenant, his word uttered to us. He has determined, when he created Adam and Eve, to create a family of dialogue relationship. When he decided to send us the fullest revelation, John picks the word that's the root of this word. In the beginning was the Logos, in ancient Greek, the mediator between the unknown and the knowable, who could tell us, all that we need to know about God. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was facing or with the God, and the Logos was God, of the same essence as God, and the Logos turned and struck a tent in human flesh. And though no man has seen God, Christ hath declared him, spoken forth. The Logos moved into a tent of human flesh and became the spoken word to become the written word. Again, this is translated counted, but it's counted because God says so. God says, Abraham trusted him. Abraham trusted him. And God spoke that to his account, to him, for dikaiosune. I had my wife write last Sunday the Genesis 15:6, which is being quoted by Paul here in Romans 4:3. And you see, as you read the Hebrew up there, the word is right there at the start. Vaha. Vehi. I'm going to use the W form of it. Vehi. Amin. Wehi, I mean, go up and put your hand by the first word. We is the conjunction and he, amin. It's not batak, it's not hasa, Abraham, amen. Be, which is the preposition, in Yahweh. Abraham amened in Yahweh, and God counted that for righteousness. I've written the Spanish, and my wife has written the French, to show how quickly the translations reduced it down to belief, coming primarily through the Old Latin. But I was disappointed, as I checked in the last few weeks, the Arabic, which is normally as pure as the Hebrew translation early on in the Syriac, and even the Coptic, early on the Arabic, substituted the word believe for their word, amen. That's the purpose of writing these languages. Belief alone won't get it done. The quote that Paul is using, he uses pistuo because it always translates amen, batak, and hasa, all of them. But when you go to the original he quoted from Genesis 15:6, what Abraham demonstrated at that moment was amenness. Now, amenness cannot be maintained all the time. You'll slip back. You'll begin to doubt. You'll find yourself having to lean on his word with some less than total, no doubting certainty. You will drift away, become confident, the flesh takes over, and you will then, thanks be to a nudge from God, need to run to the shelter. And because you've been there and drifted, it's a little harder to get back to that amen stage again. I'm teaching practical Christianity. I'm so tired of these preachers that howl and hoot like this is easy. This is not easy. And the further you go down the road, the tougher the test of faith. But that which gets the response is amenness. God will take the talk. He'll take Hossa. He'll take the tentative steps toward Him again. But that which is at the level where God cannot say no, you become one with His amenness, are those moments of certainty when you just have no doubts. I remember that 4 years ago. 4 or 5 Sundays ago, I preached on Peter. He didn't have any doubt. When he stepped out of that boat in the midst of the storm, he walked on water, something nobody else had ever done except Jesus. But then he looked from Jesus, as we always do, and saw the waves, and began to sink, and cried, "Lord, save me." Now that was pretty tentative. I don't think when he cried out, "Lord, save me," he was at any amen stage at all. He was at a panic stage. He had lost his amenness. But the beauty of the story is Jesus saved him, took his hand, and pulled him up before he rebuked him. And then he asked the question every one of us should ask ourselves periodically. Oh, little faith man, why did you double think? That's the literal. Why did you think twice? You amened. You said, "Lord, if it be you, tell me come." I said, "It's me. Come." And he amened and got out and walked on water. Why did you double think, little faith man? But together, they walked all the way back to the ship. And I'm telling you, that's what I'm going to do to victory, and so can you. Now, I want to go back into Genesis today and see what lessons in faith we can learn. The ideal is that moment that Abraham was able to say, or God was able to say to Abraham, he was amening him. Amen did not stay constant with Abraham. That's what encourages me. Oh, he made it. Many years ahead on Mount Moriah, he came to an amen state that was unshakable, until God opened up all the vistas of promise to him. But his first little amen, this sort of slipped quickly. Let's go to Genesis 15:6. Tell me when we're there. Say, "Here."
"Here."
You're faster than I am. But I'm sitting down, so are you, so you're faster sitting down. 15th chapter. After these things, he had just won the victory over the kings that had come and taken Sodom and Gomorrah and carried Lot away. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram." See, he wasn't yet named Abraham. He was named Abram, which is high father. He will get named Abraham, which means father of many children, later. Just that one letter, he, which is just a breath from God, puts life in him that he didn't have. But he's not there yet. "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now, what would you do, as I said last Sunday, if the Lord appeared to you in a vision and said, "Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward"? Probably what Abram did. And Abram said, "Lord God, what will thou give me?" Now, isn't it comforting to see that a giant, the father of faith, starts out just self-centered? "Okay, you're here now. You're my shield and great reward. What are you going to give me? I go childless." some dumb servant in my house is going to inherit. The Lord didn't get mad at him. He brought him forth outside and said, look now toward the heaven and see if you can count the stars. So shall thy seed be. In that moment, something in the exposure to God brought forth amenness. Now, I've been there a few times, and I'm sure some of you have. The point I'm going to talk about today is it didn't last long. And he believed. Now, you've already seen it on the board. Where he, amen. He, amen. Will you strike out believed and write in amen? And he, amen in the Lord. And he, that is the Lord, counted it. I already covered that last Sunday. The it is in the feminine, and the feminine noun is tzedekah, for righteousness. He counted it to him for righteousness. He counted it as though Abraham would be a keeper of covenant. Just gave it to him right then and there. And the Lord said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Again, I missed the point, and this message is a failure if you don't tune in on the kind of raw material God's willing to work with. And he said, Abraham, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now, if I'd have been God, I'd have said, you silly fool, because I told you. I mean, think of this. I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Lord, what will you give me? Well, come out here and see if you can count the stars. I'm going to give you, thy seed will be as the stars. Lord, I believe you. Amen. Amen. He really wanted that. Amen. So be it. God counted it for righteousness. Then the Lord said, I brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Well, you silly fool. You want proof. Now, he gave him proof he would not live to see. That's what's interesting. But he gave it to him in a nightmare of horror. God has his own way of getting even. And sometimes we ask for it. He said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. And the birds divided he not, and when the fowls came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, you know, he didn't see sense in any of this, I'm sure. How am I going to know? I'm still waiting for the answer. We'll kill all these animals and divide them in pieces and fight the birds away. And when night came, sun was going down, am I boring you? This is the father of faith. A deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo and horror of great darkness fell upon him. Now, maybe some of you will listen and be a little more reticent to ask for proof. This was a nightmare. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety, this is the proof, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. That's the only good news in the nightmare. And in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. God has a little footnote that he's going to use them to finish the job on the Amorites. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces of the sacrifice. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. Now, I got my faith back studying the resurrection. Then I wouldn't accept the 5th century canonization. I had to go through the Old Testament on the authority of Jesus, and I spent another 3 years studying Jesus' use of the Old Testament. But it wasn't long until the book itself began to show me no mortal man could have woven this pattern. How the Israelites in the time of Moses could doubt, knowing that Abram had asked this night for proof that what God promised would be true, and they were now in the 4th generation. They had gone to a nation that was strange. They had fallen into bondage in that nation. And when Moses led them out, the Egyptians, because of the plagues, were so glad to get rid of them, they loaned the money to them until they went out richer than when they came in. And he destroyed Pharaoh's army and led them out. And they were promised that they would come back to this very same place. How could they doubt? There is no statistical probability in the realm of mathematical possibility that that prophecy of Abraham would be carried out as exactly as it was. But it was. But back to Abraham, he woke up from the nightmare. He's now promised seed like the stars of the heavens. He's been given a nightmarish vision that he will not live to see, that's proof that everything he says is true, and the land will be his and his descendants. Now, Sarai, she hadn't had her name changed yet, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Now, that's a contradiction, in fact, to what God just promised him. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Now watch this nifty little ability to blame God for what she's going to come up with as a fleshly answer to what was a spiritual promise. Now this is pretty racy stuff. Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. God's to blame for all this. Don't tell me that Abram hadn't shared his vision with her. Okay, you're going to have a lot of kids now, but not by me. My legs are too stiff to spread. I'm old. I don't want you near me, Abram. Take that thing and put it in my maid. And others would clean up what the Bible's clearly saying. I pray thee. Look how spiritual she is about it. The Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee. Go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. I'll bet you he ripped the tent poles out of that tent getting in there. Oh boy. As I preach this message of faith and you all go around in the family of God, there are just Sarai's abundant. They will tell you how to obtain God's promises with works of the flesh. They're ready immediately to give you the way that you can get God's job done. Man, did Abram run in there. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar. I repeat, God was really working with some bad raw material. Some of you horny old men, you got a chance. Get on the page with me, folks. This is the Bible. Earthy reality Bible. Not that spiritual gibberish you hear most of the time. Origen's the only saint that castrated himself, and he was a fool for doing that. Now, take it out of sex and put it into what the church world is constantly trying to make you do. Achieve the objective of faith, which is a gift of God, by your own fleshly works. How do you know that? I'm going to show you in a minute. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. Now, she probably thought the old man was not able to produce children. She just was in for a little flop in the hay. She didn't seem to protest, but she got mad when she conceived that, when she saw that she had conceived. Then she hated her mistress Sarai. She hated her, because now she's bearing the child. And Sarai hated her too now. Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. Look at this witch. Look at this witch. Go, I give you my maid. Go in unto her. Now, Sarah, my wrong be upon thee. I've given my maid unto thy bosom. Bosom's a little bit of an editorial change. He didn't just give her maid to his bosom. She gave her maid to something else. You don't conceive with the bosom. Just like David didn't come out of his father's bowels. Why are you being so colorful? Because the Bible is. I get tired of people reading the Bible as a dead head. God didn't try to hide any of this. I've given my maid unto thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Now the Lord judge between me and thee, which of us is wrong? I've already decided you're wrong, Abram. And God couldn't make Abraham produce the promised child with this broad. And Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. I've already had my thing. Do to her as it pleases thee. Slam, bam, thank you, ma'am. You didn't realize the Bible was quite so brutal, did you? Those of you that have been listening to me, you know, right? Some of you newer ones, you'll get used to it. Bible's the most interesting book in the world. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, after Abraham already had, that'll hit you tonight. I get inspired when I'm sitting down. She fled from her face. The angel of the Lord found her, told her to go back and submit. Thou God seest thee. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old. 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. You say, as I tried to make this half as colorful as it is, that this is an allegory in the New Testament of what the rest of the church world does to try to make you achieve the objectives of faith in the flesh. Go to Galatians, New Testament, chapter 4, as I bring this message to a close. Paul is talking to the Galatians. Third chapter, he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or the hearing of faith? And are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Sarai's have come in. Maybe well-meaning. Now that you have received the promise of God's redemption and healing by faith. They want you to deserve it and accomplish it by works of the flesh. And Paul becomes angry, talking to these Galatians, 16th verse, the 4th chapter, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you." Just go to another church. "Oh, we're saved by faith, but you've got to walk worthy. And they will examine you and change you and cut on you. They zealously affect you, but not well." Yeah, they would exclude you. And you got a number on that. If you look at the margin, Paul includes himself with them. They would exclude us because we don't do the works of the flesh, the law. We don't accomplish God's righteousness by our fleshly effort. We don't take the promise as a gift. We got to make it happen. You know, you're writing in French. You want to find a space there and write the word for to give, rendre, se rendre. In the reflexive, write se rendre. Se, S-E, French. The way I speak it. Se rendre. Render, R-E-N-D-R-E. Now that is to give. And surrender is in the reflexive, is to give yourself. Where do you think we get the word surrender? Write surrender under that. S-U-R-R-E-N-D-E-R. All we have to do is surrender. Keep the faith and surrender. God will do the work. But here come the well-meaning Sarai's. We can't wait any longer. We got to do it in fleshly effort. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yay! And if you don't go along with them, they would exclude you. Well, I mean, I'll be the talk of the town because I interpreted what the Bible was really saying about Abraham and Sarah's little excursion in the tent with Hagar. I wonder if Sarai watched. That ought to probably hold you for an hour or two. "My little children," Paul says, "of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I sound in doubt of you." In other words, I'd like to yell at you. "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh." Abraham didn't have to believe God to produce Ishmael. "He of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai." He now compares sacred Mount Sinai to the little fornicating in the tent with Hagar. Mount Sinai becomes that tent meeting with Hagar and Abram, which engendereth the bondage. Mount Sinai, every generation, here comes a preacher running down Mount Sinai having rediscovered the Ten Commandments with chains to bind you with. That law died. Sinai, which engendereth the bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, where the Jamesites were coming up to Galatia and spying on them in the urinal to see if they were circumcised and trying to lay the law on them. This Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children, still doing it with works of the flesh. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, quoting Isaiah 54, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh, the enculturated Christians, the do-do this, the don't-do that, the works-based Christians, as then, we that are the children of promise, those that are born after the flesh and want to flaunt their works. Abraham must have felt like a real stud. He didn't need any of God's help with Hagar. He must have come out pounding his chest after he finished pounding whatever else he was pounding. The tent of Hagar engendereth the pride. The miracle of Abram and Sarah was a miracle of God's power and spirit empowerment. We, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, you understand why, you know, there are some fools out there that think that I've been thrown out of something. I've held executive positions, helped to create the nature of one of the major denominations, the Assemblies of God in America today, covered all of their foreign Bible schools to rearrange him, was the head of the Full Gospel Fellowship for many years as vice president, first vice president, and president, retired, left voluntarily, never thrown out of anything. I have not been ejected by anybody. I'm a historic churchman that believes what Paul taught and has the courage to teach it without compromise. I have left them. I've thrown them out, not the other way around. Nevertheless, listen to me. As then, he that was born after the flesh, that's all they got, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Throw the mother out. Throw the mother out. Throw the mother and her kid out. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Hallelujah! Children of the free. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. All these children of the bondwomen that are tuned in and riveted to the TV every Sunday, is this the day he's going to not be there and they'll announce he died? Waiting for me to die. I'll be around long after their funerals because I'm the child of the free and faith is the way I go and faith is going to deliver me from this sickness. And when all hope is gone, then the word of the Lord comes and gives the faith. That's the message of this church. Faith, children of the free. That's my message today.